Chapter 13. Prax. The matte grey Thunderhawk gunship, Penitence, descended hard on the planet's night side, ventral thrusters blasting up a tsunami of dust as the assault craft leveled out and dropped its troop doors. Dust billowed through the open hatch, whipping through hand grips and cargo netting, and smothering the armored forms of veteran squad Anatok. With the enhanced senses of smell and taste granted by his neuroglottis, Zerberin sifted the storm of particulates. Small stones, dead soil, bone chips, blood. It chopped up the 12 helmet beams and the weak pastel glow of wall-mounted panels banging and rattling inside the troop compartment.
"Quickly in and quickly out," voxed Veteran Sergeant Columba over the squad channel, one hand wrapped around a sealing hand grip.
The sergeant was an iron-faced ascetic with ice water in his veins and heart of leaden grey. A narrow view of the Fist Exemplar creed of humility had led him to turn down the captaincy of the First more than once, and he had publicly rebuked Courland over the offer of a position in the reformed Shield Corps of Terra. Zerberin liked him. The narrow beam of his own helm light cut half a meter into the swirl, catching the whipped-up grit as if by surprise, stripping it from uniform night black to white and grey and bloody brown. A crowd of gold runes, representative of his squad, slid around the periphery of his internal faceplate display, the gunships shaking under the force of its own engines, unsettling the runes' positions. The boarding ramp railroaded out into the dark. He could see neither the ground nor the end of the ramp.
"We are exemplars," he said into his helm box. "No wall stands against us. No wall can stand beside us." "You all know your objectives," Columba concluded.
Zerberin led them into the vertical jet wash, running, a servo-powered leap plunging him into a rippling funnel of dust. For a moment, a combination of his battle plate's powered systems and the updraft of disturbed earth made him fly. Then he fell, 5 meters, half a ton of ceramite slamming two-footed into dry earth. Suspensor grids dispersed the impact force throughout his armor, plates shifting, crunching to a crouch. Then, with a counterwhine of servos, he came up, disengaged his pistol's mag holster, and whipped the weapon up. He could not see a thing. Dust devils gyrated between the ground and the gunship's thundering exhausts, sieving the landing lights from above. Blinking runes in his helm display and the vibrations picked up by his boot sensors told of veteran brothers thumping into the ground around him. They fanned out from the drop zone, murky giants with bolt guns raised and aimed. Veteran brother Donbus was triple-checking the belt feed to his heavy bolter and covering the advance from relative high ground. Antil dropped to one knee, hand to where his ear was underneath his helmet, the long antennae of a shoulder-mounted vox booster whipping above him. Each Space Marine's battle plate was independently vox-capable, but the volume of near-orbit communications noise and the signal diffraction of their own fleet's place in hiding necessitated the booster, should they need to raise their brothers around the eighth planet. Apothecary Reok stood nearby, holding his Narthesium at arm's length, sampling the wind for toxin traces or pathogens. It was almost impossible to kill a space marine by such means, but a reasonable excess of caution won more wars than Abandon ever had. Veteran brother Carver was the 12th and last down, pivoting on the spot as a Promethium tank dropped through the darkness and catching it in the crook of his arms. Zerberin voxed up to the Thunderhawk that his squad was deployed, received 2 brittle clicks through his microbead in response, and then felt a slam of downwash. With a tremendous roar of thrust, the gunship rose, reangling its engines for horizontal flight, and pulled away. The dust storm began to settle, stones and larger debris falling to leave dried organic matter zipping about. It cleared the air enough for Zerberin to see Penitence turning for a flypast of the planet's principal city, Princus Praxa, and its crusade fortress approximately 200 kilometers east across the daylight meridian. A second gunship circled in low. Its metallic bodywork was embellished with unorthodox modifications, battle honors, ablative hull plating and variant weapon loadouts.
Not all of it was of obvious human make. The star-backed iron skull of the Iron Warriors stared grimly from its tail fin and nose section. Keeping low, it banked left and began to steadily climb, mapping the terrain with a pair of sweeping spotlights and searching for an appropriate drop zone of its own. Zerberin processed his surroundings without thinking about it. Left, a diagonal line of wind power converters, biblades, chomping somberly through the dark. A greasy metal water tank, empty, riddled with holes, fenced off with wire that had been cut and trampled. Brother Tarsus advanced, bolt gun sweeping the row of quietly whooping turbines. Right, looming rockrete-walled slurry pits, surrounded by dirty metal outbuildings. A petrochem generator. A silage tank, round-walled and massive. One of the sheds was a machine store. It was open, an upswinging outer door half-covering a weather-beaten wheeled truck. The vehicle was a rusted contraption of belts, pulleys and funnels, with an articulated pallet lifter at the front end painted to look like an orcish mouth. It had a canvas top and a blood-spattered rear fender. Its tires were flat. Brothers Gallen and Borhun took firing positions, Carver moving up to cover the units with his heavy flamer. Behind, nothing, according to the Thunderhawk's deep auger scans, just overexploited pasture land and dust. Ahead, the objective. His enhanced low-light vision described the structure in sharp detail. It was a massive industrialized agricultural unit with dust-tanned steel walls and barred windows. A large rectangular glyph of a twisting serpent had been graffitied over the upper story windows. It was an orc structure, but it was only as Zerberin closed and metrics gathered in his helm display that he realized that every feature was about 25% too large for human standard. The dirt drive leading up to the main door was churned with tire tracks and strewn with bone meal, dung, and what looked like scraps of clothing. He loped forwards at an easy run. Brothers Hardran and Nallis followed up behind, flanking and covering the upper stories and secondary entrances with their bolters. Tosk and Columba kept pace, the former maintaining his aim on the door with a bulky combi plasma. The unit frequency crackled in Zerberin's ear. Gallen, no contacts.
Tarsus, same here, brother captain.
Ryok, voiced the apothecary, voice double distorted and animal.
I am reading high soil concentrations of antibiotics and human growth hormones. I cannot say why, but I see no danger.
Vigilance, brothers, Zerberin replied, unslinging his thunderhammer. His predecessor had favoured the purest elegance of a power sword, but long before the moment he had been granted his pick of the chapter armoury, Zerberin had known what he would select. The weapon was dormant in his grip, quiet, and would remain so until the moment of impact. And when that moment came, whatever was on the end of it, Zerberin meant for it to die. Such was the Thunderhammer's pragmatic beauty. Up close, the main door looked solid. Heavy plastic, proofed with an oily black sealant coating, hinged outwards and reinforced with armor-plast crossbars. For an unmodified trooper, forcing access would have proven a complicated and time-consuming matter. But not for him. He dropped his pauldron plate and crashed his leading shoulder through without breaking stride. Shrugging off splinters, he straightened and scanned the room. It was dark, cut off from the light of the stars and the ship's mast in orbit, too dark even for the light-scavenging cells of his oculobe. His helm light beamed across riveted walls, ventilation grills, moving onto a staircase against the left side wall. The beam tracked it up to a mezzanine level, shadows of the square-sided balusters stretching out towards the rear wall and then angling sharply back across it as the beam moved on. Hardran, Nallis and Borhun spread out, their own helmet beams dispersing through the cavernous space. Zerberin could hear murmuring, weeping, the strained sound of many, many bodies breathing. He sniffed. Even through his battle plate's rebreather apparatus, he was getting the smell of something rancid. His helm display busied his vision with floating markers. The position, facing, and condition of his squad showed as glowing gold numerals. Box reticules closed over objects of interest,
an atmosphere conditioner, a swaying chain connected to some kind of overhead wash unit, furnishing them with a full tactical overlay of range, angles, and threat recognition. Reticules floated against the dark, open, uncertain, as his helm light swept over a chain-link enclosure. Eyes glittered dully in the beam.
"What is it, brother?"
"Tarsus." Zerberin barely registered the vox scratch in his ear. He grunted in disgust. "Animals!"